I'm going to read the passage first, then I'll pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, the acts of to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding his voice, the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the singing, the praising this morning. Thank you for being our God. And Lord, thank you for the reasons we're even going to see in your word today that we can praise you. Father, I just pray this would be a day where our hearts are lifted up towards you. And Lord, you just fill us, Father God, with your presence, with your word this day. Father, may you be glorified in it. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles. You're going to need them. Okay? Simply want to spend a lot of time in Scripture. Not that I don't always, or that's not our focus, but even much more today, I want the Word of God to talk more than me, even if you know what I mean. I want you to hear it. So there's your bulletin lists a lot of Scripture. That's not even all of it. But it is something for you to look at. Hello. You are like right here. How you been? Good. All right. So the child of God really has many reasons of giving thanks to God every day. Amen? I mean, we can sit here and talk about those things. The Bible's going to give us a few. This psalm was written by David when he was thought to be an older man to declare several of those reasons of which we could praise God for. Okay? It contains the language of a man who has experienced the serious consequences of sin and the awesome forgiveness and pardon of an almighty God. And most of us can relate so far, right? He seeks to stir up this inner man in him, David does, to praise the Lord. And perhaps if you look at this, you would think that he might have been in a spiritual slump, or maybe his praise isn't as vocal or as frequent as it should be. So there, he challenges his soul here to bless the Lord. Now maybe you've been there, maybe a time or two, maybe today the Holy Spirit needs to stir up your soul. Maybe you're here today because you need that. Maybe you come every Sunday and you still need your soul to be stirred up so that you feel the joy of his presence. I hope that you feel that today as we look into his word, that you just know that you're in fellowship with God today. That you might overflow with the praises from your lips for him this morning. You look at the first verses 1 through 5 here. It's really a celebration of the personal benefits that are received from God. And when you look at the latter part of the chapter, really going from verse 6 on to the end of the chapter, is God's mercy towards his people. And so the word, let's start with this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That word bless there is used, that's used means to kneel before another in praise of adoration. So it's the thought as we even start this is to humbly bow before the King. How many of us do that? How many of us do that even right now? Lord, let me take a moment here, and I want to bow before you. I want to praise you. Just, matter of fact, do that. Just quietly surrender so that he can talk to you this morning. Just bow a knee. Just take a knee, Lord. Speak to me. I acknowledge that you're King. And Lord, you have something for me to hear. This is a call for the soul to give adoration, a praise and worship to God who is worthy of such praise and worship. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. He deserves this. He deserves a heart that comes into his presence and wants to hear from him. He deserves us to just acknowledge with our own lips that he is great and he's worthy of honor and majesty. Psalm 146, and going back here to that psalm in verses 1 and 2. Says, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is an opportunity, folks, this morning to do that very thing. How many here are breathing? This is an opportunity. You're alive, right? So this is another opportunity to give praise to him. We could go into the book of Luke and even Mary, going back here to maybe we were at this verse around Christmas time, but Luke chapter 1, verse 46, this isn't in your bulletin. I'm just going to jump back here to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46, 47. And it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Or my soul, what, declares the greatness of my Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Oh, he's my God. He's my Savior. He's your God. He's your Savior. So we're living in a day, folks, when truly there's a drought of praise among people. There's even a drought of praise amongst God's people. We don't praise him near enough. And you can go to 1 or 2 Timothy 3 and see what it's going to be like in the last days where there's unthankfulness, unholy. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if you haven't figured out, if Paul is saying that in his time, it's much darker today. If you don't realize we're in these times, I would challenge you to look again. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, the scripture says. Okay? Perilous times will come. Or your Bible might say times of stress will come. Anybody see the times of stress? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, looking like even they're Christians, but there's nothing in them. And from such people, what does it say? Turn away. So we're going to be in times like that. But we would do well to stir up our own souls to praise the Lord in the day we're in. Lord, bless, how does it say this? In Psalm 103, bless Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So notice David says, all that is with, all that is in me, bless his holy name. You know, you go back to Deuteronomy 6:5. What is David saying here? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's what David's implying in the, even in this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Everything, every ounce of my being, let me bless God. Let me praise God. With all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. Every ounce of me, let me give you praise. And you can read Psalm 35, verse 28. David says this in this psalm, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise, how long? All day long. This isn't just a one-time event. This is every minute of every day David is doing this or desiring to do this. Psalm 51, verse 15. Again, David says, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your what? Your praise. Just open my mouth, Lord, and let me praise you with my lips, his holy name. I mean, know that he has a holy name. I want to praise his holy name. Psalm 99, verse 3, Psalm 99, 3. Let them praise your great and awesome name, for he is holy. The awesome name of God. Let it roll off my lips. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says, the four living creatures, and you know this verse, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. Listen to this. They don't rest day or night. This is amazing to me. Day or night from the time he created the hosts of heaven. Till all eternity, they don't cease. They do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So folks, is he's worthy. He's so worthy of having our whole being engaged in our worship of him. I enjoyed hearing the choir. I enjoyed hearing the songs we were singing. I love it when people get engaged in their worship. And they think about what they're saying to their God. And David wants his soul. He wants to be engaged in worship. Because the danger of, look at this, Psalm 103, the danger of not doing so, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David warns his soul the dangers of forgetting the benefits of the Lord in his life. And the word benefit there, when I was studying this, looking at this, the word benefit has the idea of dealings in your life. In other words, it's how God has dealt with each one of us. David's saying, don't let me forget, Lord, how you've provided for me. Don't let me forget what you've taught me. Don't let me forget how you've led me. Don't let me forget every day of every minute where you've impacted my life and changed it. Don't let me forget your testimony in my life. And the only way that David says, I'm not going to forget that, is I got to stir up my soul to praise him. And I have to remember the things that he's done. The word forget refers to a lapse of memory that can cause one to, listen to this, to wander. So it's not just losing my memory, forgetting, oh, I forgot that. It's forgetting in a way that I will drift away from him, out of fellowship with him. Because when we forget what we have in Jesus and who we are in Jesus, there's a real danger that we might wander out of fellowship with him. And praise and thankfulness keeps us tender and close to him. It allows for us not to forget the things that he has done. So thankfulness isn't an option, it's a command. You know, we see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where the word says, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's not, I just suggest that you be thankful. No, you better be thankful. That's God's will. And being thankful is one of the things that causes me to remember the things He's done for me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We read this verse, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many things are we to be thankful for? All things. And praise, when we talk about praise, how many like to praise God? Praise is beneficial to you. It helps you. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, we could go on with that. Go jump down to verse 10 there. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned whatever state I am in to be what? Content, he says here. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Now, I'll tell you what's in that sentence there is the praise of God. Lord, even when I was without anything, I was praising God. Even when I had abundance, I'd praise God. But the praising of God brought about the contentment, is what Paul's telling us. Okay, there's the reason for being thankful. David here identifies 8 spiritual reasons that should really stimulate your heart, my heart, to offer God thanksgiving and praise. Not just on Sundays, folks, but on every day of the year, today. Right now, every minute, sometimes we forget because we don't think about these things. Let's go through them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That's an amazing statement. Amen? Amazing. What did his forgiveness do? In him, all sins are gone. Well, look down here, not to jump ahead, but look at 11 again through 14. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And I don't need to say this again from this pulpit because you know, but maybe somebody's listening. Who's not here today, maybe online or something. Past, present, and future. He has forgiven not some of my iniquity, folks, all of it. How many fail God? How many failed him today? I want to tell you, you're forgiven in Christ Jesus. He takes our sins and he puts them away from us forever. He did this through the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, when Jesus did that, he didn't put away some sin. He put away all sin for those who believe in him. Amen to that? I want you to see that. I mean, now all our sins, past, present, future, have been forever put away through the gift of God in Jesus Christ. And we could look at Psalm 32. Jump back here to Psalm 32. Let me just show you a few of these. What the Word says, these promises. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Whose transgression is forgiven this morning? You're blessed. Oh boy, are you blessed. Now, you should break out in song right now. I'm not kidding you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. When you understand that you've been forgiven from your past sin, and that works into your present sin that you may stumble into today or tomorrow or whenever, and your future sin, folks, you are a blessed people. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. You know what he does as a believer? He imputes righteousness to you. The righteousness of Christ, which it has no blemish in it. You cannot have the righteousness of Christ and still have sin in, that you're accountable for as a believer. You can't have them both. So in order for you to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he has to do away with all your sin, even into the future. Because if it was based on one sin that was not paid for by the blood of Christ, you could not be perfect. You've been imputed the blood of Jesus Christ. Hello? You better be screaming. You better understand when it says, who forgives all your iniquities. Folks, let me take you to Isaiah 43. Verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions. Why? Because you're somebody special? For my own sake. Why did he wash you? Why did he redeem you? Why did he take away sin, past, present, future? Why did he impute righteousness to you? Because you were somebody wonderful? No, for his sake. He's not going to have a whole bunch of people that he saved that are blemished. That's what you were before Christ. And I will not, look at this, I will not. You talk about the promises of God, which we talked about earlier this morning. I will not remember your sins. Oh boy, we could go on into the New Testament. We could go to Colossians chapter 2. Go there with me, Colossians 2. Verse 13 and 14. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many of your sins did he forgive? Do not let the devil try to convince you to live in a life where he's got you doubting what God did. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. What is that? The law of God, the Mosaic law that found us guilty. He came and fulfilled it. He wiped it out. It's as if you just, it's as if each one of you has kept the law perfectly. That's what he did. That imputed righteousness is declaring to God that you, who cannot keep the law, kept it perfectly. Hello. Forgiven of all your sins. We could go on in more and more verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now you need to focus in on the forgiveness of sins and think about what I've just said. We have it. We won't get it. We have it. Now, I could talk more about that, but if you want to rejoice this morning, If you want to give praise, if you want to stir up your soul like David's doing here, then you need to remember something. He's forgiving you all your iniquities. Now that is in Christ Jesus. Without Christ, that wouldn't happen. Without faith in Jesus, that's not true. But if you have faith in Christ, if you are a born-again believer, if you're a new creation in Christ, then he has already dealt with all your sin. Does anybody get excited about that? Because there's more. I got more. Who redeems your life from destruction. Or let me put it this way, from the grave is what the real word means. Destruction. Or we could say hell. But listen, he didn't just forgive my iniquities. Oh, let me back up here. He heals my diseases. I missed that one. Okay? He heals what? All your diseases. Now, God's our healer. He does heal us physically as well as spiritually. I mean, that was John would make that declaration to the church back here in 3 John, where he would say in verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." You know, but in him, the soul is made whole. Amen? I think that's more the point. Not that he can't heal physically, but that he healed us spiritually. Yeah, go to Psalm 107. In verses 8, really to 21. Nevertheless, let's see, 107, let's start in 8. "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought them down. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would give thanks to God because he healed us. That he pulled me away from death." I mean, we can look at Psalm 30, verse 2. What do we see here in Psalm 30, verse 2? "O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you what? You healed me." It's our souls are subject to many terrible things in life. Among them are lust, hate, greed, jealousy. We can easily be discouraged. We can become depressed. We can be angry. We can fall into fear. We can fall into guilt. And we can fall into doubt, and just to name a few of those things. But just as surely as diseases of the body can take away our physical life, the diseases of the soul can deaden us towards things of God and leave us lifeless. They can leave us weak. And I thank God that he has a remedy for the diseases of the soul. This word here, also in the present tense, each day the divine physician visits his patients. Okay? And through his grace, he tenderly and effectively heals all their diseases. diseases of the soul. Now, I'm just going to say, don't let your soul forget that you've been healed in Christ. Stir it up. Cause yourself to think of that. Don't let your soul forget that you've been forgiven of all of your iniquities. And don't let your soul forget that you've been healed. That there's now life in you. What else would his soul praise God for or praise him for? Who redeems your life from destruction, as I said, from the grave, from hell. Psalm 34, verse 22. Are you excited yet? I mean that seriously, folks. I really do. With all that's going on in the world, if you're a saved person, start get your eyes off the world and just start thinking about what you have. Psalm 34, verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Look at that verse. How many have put your trust in Jesus Christ? Well, you'll never be condemned. You will never see death in a spiritual sense. And we're right around there. Psalm 30, verse 2 says, "Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you what?" Again, there's that verse. "You healed me." When I think of the fact that I was once a slave to sin, but now I am free from sin's bondage. I'm free from sin's curse. I'm free from sin's penalty. I have to say the same thing the psalmist is saying here. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Because that's not all. You know, don't let your soul forget that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to be stirred up. We have to be, come on, worship. It's okay to say, "Praise the Lord." It's okay to get excited when you sing. Don't be afraid to show your emotions. Hello? I mean, listen. The world is so depressing. Amen? You and I don't need to be there. So if you have to have your soul stirred up, just do that. Lord, help me. Help me to remember that all my sins forgiven. Now praise should come from our lips for that. Lord, let me remember that I used to be sick. Matter of fact, I was dead, but now I'm alive. And you've healed me. And oh, you know, I was headed for hell. But you pulled me back because you've redeemed me. In him I'm redeemed. But look at verse 4 here. Psalm 103. If that doesn't stir you, it gets better. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. In him we've received grace, folks. Mercy, compassion, salvation, eternal blessings. Now, look, verses 8 through 18 talk about the mercy of God. I don't need to reread that, but you can reread that. Look at the mercy he showed here, even Israel, in the text. The application for us is he showed the same mercy to you. No, but notice this. He crowns us. The word crowns. How many like crowns? What does a crown imply? Your royalty. You're special. You're not like everybody else, folks. You are different. He has crowned you with his loving kindness, his mercy. Thank you. It's an H word, and we're hard to learn those. That is amazing. When I think of his love for me, I'm telling you, we're talking about the promises of God. And we don't really grasp the promises. I can't wrap my head around how much He loves me. If He says me He loves me, I can only attribute that mostly to what I experience in this world. But I have no idea. Oh, I get pictures of it now and then. I taste it now and then. I feel it now and then because of His Spirit in me. But I could not stand here and tell you when I walk into glory what that love is going to be like. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to go probably, are you kidding me? I could have. I had. This is what you did. I'm going to be totally amazed for the rest of eternity on the love of God because I can't really define it. Because it's so exceedingly great. But boy, just think about this. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Go back here to Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. I'll start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in, what's He rich in? In mercy. Because of His great love, or let's use the verse that we're talking about this morning, the word exceedingly great love. His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. So when I was dead, imperfect, without Him, that love is the same. So I didn't have to get my life together so He'd love me more. He already loved me as much as He's going to love me before I knew Him. So even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Look at that. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we could spend a lot of time on that verse. Raised us up together and made us sit. Where are you sitting in heaven? You say, Pastor Dan, I'm right here, right now. Where's your position in heaven? Where's your position? It made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where were you positionally in heaven? The same place Jesus is. Hello? You ought to be saved. Are you kidding me? He didn't just save me, but I have that kind of access to the throne of God that I am in Christ Jesus right at the very presence of God. Are you kidding me? Don't you know what a wretch I am? God, don't you know what I'm like? Are you kidding me? When He says, you just didn't save me and redeem my life from destruction, pulled me from the pit. You pulled me from the pit and put me in Your presence. Oh boy. That in ages to come, it's not done. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Why did He put you there in Christ Jesus? What's His plan? What's His purpose? What's He going to do? He wants you right there. Right there. I want you right here. Because I'm going to spend the rest of eternity showing you how much I love you. You think you knew me? You think you know my love for you? Oh, you have no idea. Because I'm going to spend the rest of eternity showing my grace to you, my kindness towards you in Christ. And they aren't just riches. They're exceedingly great riches. Folks, if you think you've tapped the well now, you think you know Him? Oh, and we do. Don't misunderstand me. We know enough about Him. But you will never get to where you know all of Him. Or He will cease to be God. The riches are so great that He has in store for you that are yours right now. And you can appropriate them today. We just choose not to. We don't dig and find out who we are in Christ. We don't really spend time to meditate on His Word and say, I have that promise. I'm going to live right there. And even Christians live in doubt and unbelief. And it's a sad testimony for us. But once we get a hold of this, do you know the enemy could never beat us up again? Titus chapter 3. We're not done. Titus chapter 3. Verses 4 through 6. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy saved us through the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Christ our Savior. Listen, don't let your soul forget that you've been crowned with love and mercy of Jesus Christ. If you have to stir up your soul to remember that, start praising Him. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 5. Now in Him we have been given spiritual satisfaction. Okay? Who satisfies your mouth with good things. How many of you, when you fellowship with God, it's so rich and so wonderful that it's just like sitting down to the best tasting food and you're satisfied. That's a bad description. But fellowship with God satisfies the soul. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Look at Psalm 63. Go back here to Psalm 63, verse 5. Psalm 63, 5. What does it say? My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You know, why marrow and fatness? Satisfied? Some people tell you that's the best part of the meat. Huh? Why do you like fat on your steak? Gives it flavor. It marrow, there are people who suck the marrow out of bones. God will deliver them from that nasty habit. But I'm just saying. But it's to describe the richness of the, that's, you know, He satisfies you with the good things. He does that. I mean, don't let your soul forget that God satisfies you with the strength that you need to walk. Oh boy, you go to the Lord and you get into praise and worship of God, and instantly that spiritual man becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like he just is satisfied. You can be totally depressed and bummed out from the day. And go to the Lord and start singing and praising and thankful Him, and that man will get stronger and stronger. The inner man, stronger, stronger, stronger. Not talking about your physical man. Talking about that man. That man that complains or is depressed. That looks at all the problems of the world and the problems in other people. Go start praising God and watch what happens. He'll renew your strength just like an eagle. Which is what? Where do we get that? Isaiah 40, right? Isaiah 40, verse 31, to be exact. Let me go back there. That's not in your bulletin. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not be faint. That last part of the verse, worship will do that. When your soul starts to remember what the things God has done and who He is, that's exactly what will happen. Well, that's not all. Because in Psalm 103, when we go there, says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. In Him we have one who pleads our case before the Lord. We can look at the verses, Psalm 9:9, Psalm 72:12. These are in your bulletins. Romans 8:34, Hebrews 7:25, which talks about him being, oh, let me just look at a couple of those. Psalm 9:9. Go back here to Psalm 9. And then we'll look at maybe the one of the others. Psalm 9:9. It says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. It's a place, he's a place where we can go for help, amen? A place where we can go to feel secure. And I got to thinking about that. Why is it that I can feel secure with him? And I'm going to maybe add a different flavor to this. Go to Hebrews 7:25. Certainly it is because of all his promises, but I have something in Christ that the world doesn't have. You have something in your Savior that the world doesn't have. Therefore, he also is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I got to look at that. You know why? You know, he has justice for the oppressed. Because we can come to him. Always come to him. And what does he promise he'll do for us? He makes intercession for us. He's our advocate, our mediator between us and God. And just as it says in Psalm 103, that he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel, in him we can know him, we can have fellowship with him, we can follow him. And he has revealed himself to us in his word. He's allowed you and I to know him. Boy, I'll tell you what, sometimes I need that to be stirred up in my soul, like David. And I have to be reminded, I say, you know, Lord, what's going on? Don't you remember, Dan? You know me. I know you. You're okay. It's going to be all right. It's all going to work out. How many have to be reminded like that sometimes? Daily? Yeah. He made his ways known to Moses. Why did he do that to Moses? Because he loved him. Why does he make himself known to you? Because he loves you. Oh, I get down here to verse 19 of this psalm. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. If I need to remember anything besides what I've just told you in this sermon today of what he's done for us, I need to remember he's king. With all that's going on in the world, I need to remember. I need to be stirred up in praises, in worship, and I need to remember that he has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. In him I can rest because he's in control. Daniel 4. We've got just some time here. Daniel chapter 4. Go to verse 25. Talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Excuse me, this would be Belshazzar. It says, they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling will be, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar. They will drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, or 7 years, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. There's a truth you and I should remember today with what's going on. There's a king behind all this and a will to be done behind all that we see. And that kingdom, or whatever kingdom, he gives it to whomever he chooses. But there's always a reason for why he would even do this to Nebuchadnezzar and do this to men to bring them to this place. Daniel chapter 4, look at verses 34 and 35. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" So he has established his throne in heaven. He's in control of all things. Let my lips just praise him for those things. And so, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Meditate, folks, on what Jesus has done for you. And that you were included in all these that he lists. And let your soul give praise for all of it. Amen? Father, thank you for your word today. And Lord, I just pray. I'm so grateful, Father, that you have forgiven us all our iniquities and that you have healed all our diseases and that you've redeemed us from destruction, from death and the grave. I thank you that, Father, as if that wasn't enough, Lord, you've crowned us, or we are crowned with your loving kindness and your tender mercies forever. And Lord, that you satisfy our mouth with good things. And Lord, by your word and by just fellowship and praise with you, our strength is renewed like eagles. Lord, I'm so grateful for everything we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.